Good day, and welcome to the Oriental Aromatics Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Oriental Aromatics Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the third quarter and 9 months ended of financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Dharmil Bodani, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Shyamal Bodani, Executive Director, Mr. Parag Satospal, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Girish Khandelwal, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Kiran Preetil, Company Secretary. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Parag Satospal to start with his opening remark. I request Mr. Dharmil Bodani to start with his opening remark.
Thank you, Anuj. Good afternoon, everybody. It is our pleasure to welcome you all to the earnings conference call to discuss the results of the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2022. Thank you for joining us today. I now would request Mr. Parag Satoshkar, our Chief Executive Officer, to give the operational highlights, and Mr. Girish Khandelwal, our Chief Financial Officer, to give the financial highlights of the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2022. Thank you. Over to you, Parag.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. During the quarter that has gone by, we are glad to inform you that the trend of reducing input costs, which began in the mid of Q2 2022-23, has not reversed. Prices of almost all inputs continue to stay stable, and the raw material availability has improved across the board. Obviously, this has helped our fragrance and flavor division the most, and we have taken full advantage of the situation. We have not only acquired new customers across geographies during this quarter in our fragrance division, but have also increased our business with our existing customers. We are glad to inform you that the demand in the fragrance and flavor space locally and in the geographies that we operate stays strong. We have also achieved an important milestone in the specialty aroma ingredients division during this quarter. The single product plant that was commissioned by us in November 2021 in Baroda has now completed 1 year of operations. And we are glad to inform you that we have achieved close to 70% of the planned production from this plant in the calendar year 2022. And 80% of this production has successfully been commercially sold to our customers locally. We are pretty confident that the validation of the plant is complete, and now we are going to look at expanding capacities and increasing volumes. Production and sales volumes for the quarter improved by 18% and 7% respectively on an year-to-year basis. We have witnessed a healthy demand in our fragrance and flavor as well as the camphor division, where the sales volume growth has been 10 and 22% respectively on an year-on-year basis. However, in the specialty ingredients division, there has been a reduction in sales volume on a year-on-year basis. The camphor and the terpene chemical in terms of pricing continues to stay under pressure. This is due to the fact that although there has been reduction in the input costs of the key raw material, but this positive impact gets neutralized by the impact of the weakening of the Indian rupee, because this raw material is imported. The weakening of the Chinese currency has also given an opportunity to our Chinese competitors to to be aggressive in pricing of camphor and terpene chemicals globally. Honestly, there should have been an increase in the prices of camphor and terpene chemicals in the local market as well as export. But the competitive pressures have ensured that we have been unable to pass on this price hike to the customers. This has created some drag. However, we are working on de-risking our camphor sales by exploring newer markets in our pharma segment and newer value-added products. We have been successful. We are also glad to inform you that we have been successful in selling all the additional quantities of terpeniol that have been produced in our Bareilly plant after the brownfield expansion that was completed in 2021. Demand in the specialty aroma ingredients division stays stable. There was an impact on sales in this division in the Q3 quarter as some of our customers, mainly in US and Europe, have postponed their purchases that were scheduled for Q3 dispatch to beyond December 2022. The impact of this decision by our customers can be clearly seen in our inventory levels at the end of this quarter for this division, which were 17% more than the end of the previous quarter. However, we are glad to inform you that offtake of this inventorized material has begun from Jan 2023, and we are confident of liquidating the stocked inventories. We had a scheduled annual shutdown of 8 days in our Baroda site in November 2022, and that impacted production in the Baroda site. Apart from this shutdown, all plants across the group are successfully running at full capacity. The RFQ allocations received from our global customers are either in line with the quantities allocated to us in the last semester or more than the last semester. I would now like to move ahead and speak a little bit about the numbers. There has been a reduction in the sales at the group level from 220 crores to 199 crores quarter to quarter. This is primarily attributed to customers of the Specialty Aroma Ingredients Division asking for deferred shipments of their orders in December 2022 and shutdown at the Baroda site. The sales performance of the Camphor and the Terpene Chemicals Division as well as the F&F Division has been better than the previous quarter, as mentioned earlier. There has also been healthy growth in production volumes across the group. There has been increase in the EBITDA at the group level. The EBITDA margin achieved at the end of this quarter is 7.07%, whereas it was 6.6% in the last quarter. Gross margins have improved to 33.8% from 31.7% in the last quarter. Moving on to CAPEX, the CAPEX plan for the hydrogenation facility in Baroda stay on track, and we stick to the guidance that we have given in our earlier calls. The hydrogenation plant commissioning dates stay on track by end of H1 2023. We are facing moderate delays in certain electrical and instrumentation equipment due to the global shortage of computer chips. If we foresee any moderate delays, we will inform you all in the subsequent investor calls. We are also glad to inform you that the plot development activities at the Mahad site, which were mentioned in the last investor call, are well underway. We will be breaking ground for phase one of our Mahad facility on 8th of March, which is the day after Holi. We will continue to give updates on the Mahad site and other CAPEX projects in our subsequent calls. The total debt of the company stands at 229 crores. The increase is primarily due to increase in working capital resulting out of inventories and mobilization of debt for CAPEX. With this, I would now like to request Mr. Girish Khandelwal to give the financial highlights. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Parag. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to say that Parag has always taken you through the business performance of the company and as well as on the market and regional developments. I would like to focus on the financial performance. Let me first take you through our consolidated performance for the quarter. The operating revenue for the quarter was 199 crore, which was a decrease of approximately 3% on a year-on-year basis and 10% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Operating EBITDA reported was 14.1 crore, decreased as compared to rupees 14.6 crore in the previous quarter and 16.2 crore in the corresponding quarter. Operating EBITDA margins stood at 7.07% as compared to 6.61% in the previous quarter. Net profit after tax reported was rupees 3.8 crore, decreased as compared to rupees 6.30 crore in the previous quarter and rupees 8 crore in the corresponding quarter. While PAT margins were 1.91%, which was a decrease of 94 basis points on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Coming to the 9 months performance on a consolidated basis, the operating revenue was 653 crore, which was a decrease of approximately 2% on a year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA reported was rupees 45 crore, decreased as compared to rupees 70 crore in the corresponding 9 months FY22. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 6.90%. Net profit after tax reported was rupees 18.6 crore, decreased as compared to 42.8 crore in the corresponding 9 months, while PAT margins were 2.85%, which was a decrease of 358 basis points on a year-on-year basis. Now, I want to say that other income includes 59 lakhs related to the forex exchange gain as compared to the 1.5 crore in the previous quarter. Finance cost has been increased during the quarter due to the increase in the interest rate as well as the higher borrowing availed during the quarter. Finance cost includes forex loss of 83 lakhs as against the 75 lakhs in the previous quarter. Debt equity ratio stood at 0.36 as compared to the previous quarter, which was 0.26. Thank you. With this, we can now open the floor to the questions and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. On the specialty aroma chemical front, you know, we saw a volume decline of 21%. So, Parag, as you were stating, this was primarily because of delay in shipments, or there was some impact on the demand itself.
Can you just repeat the first part, because you were a little unclear.
I was asking about the reason for decline in specialty aroma ingredients, but 21% in this quarter. Yeah.
So primarily, like I had mentioned in the opening remarks, that there have been a few customers, especially in Europe and America, who, for the obvious reasons of the calendar year close, decided to defer their shipments. So they have not cancelled the orders, so there is no reduction in demand. They just kind of pushed over the shipment dates, which was scheduled for December, to Jan and Feb. And that's the reason why, we had a reduction in the sales for this quarter. Having said that, those shipments have now started moving. And assuming that there might be a little bit of a slowdown, we are seeing that the offtake is now regularizing in Jan and Feb. And hopefully we will recover in terms of the numbers.
Sure. And overall, how is the industry doing on specialty aroma ingredient for front? You know, across the chemical industries, we are seeing that there has been a huge inventory built up in the system, which is leading to lower demand across chemicals. So how is the situation in our industry, especially, you know, aroma and ingredients and camphor?
So I think, 2022 was a very unique year where because of, multiple triggers, the buying community went into a buying spree and which resulted in over-inventorization. Okay. However, I think since our end user industry is the fragrance industry which applies to the FMCG space, and primarily a lot of these specialty ingredients go in functional perfumery, I don't see a destruction in demand. I probably see that once this over-inventorization phenomena gets cleaned up, we will again get back to the routine shipments and a routine CAGR growth, which in the last 2 years was surprisingly very, very high.
So when do you expect this over-inventorization thing, which has been hampering the industry's growth, to get over?
According to our estimates, we feel that the next 1 or 2 quarters max should be when this whole phenomena kind of starts, assuming that there are no more external shocks coming from anywhere. We feel that we should get into a very routine growth and cycle in demand. Having said that, the RFQs that we got in terms of quantities for H1 2023 did not show any significant drop in quantities, which itself signifies that our customers are pretty confident that demand will be back.
So you're talking about H1 FY24 next year?
I request you.
H1 FY23. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I'll come back in a little. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer queries from all participants, kindly restrict your questions to 2 at a time. We have our next question from the line of Rajat Sethia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is, if you look at the history of our company over the last 10 years specifically, we have never faced such tough times when it comes to our operating margin numbers that we are reporting. And over the last 10 years, I think the early part of the last 10 years, we were more dependent on camphor than the specialty chemical that we are doing right now, aroma chemicals. So despite being dependent on camphor, we were able to report good numbers. So what exactly is different this time? What is really happening? And why is specialty chemicals like aroma and FNF behaving like commodity?
So I think, to answer your question, in fact, like you said, that camphor has been a relatively stable, although not an extraordinary profit-making product, but it has always been a relatively stable product in terms of demand, in terms of pricing, and in terms of profitability. And like I've mentioned in my opening remarks, I think that's the area that probably is getting hit the most this time because of the competitive pressures operating out of India as well as globally. So if you look at the aroma ingredients or the fragrance side of the business, so you are seeing a healthy demand in sales. You are seeing a decent increase in profitability as the raw material prices are coming down. But camphor, for us, is the one which is kind of draining in terms of a group level EBITDA performance, and that's the reason why we are attempting to move to newer markets and value-added products.
So this time around, campus volatility is very high, you are saying?
The realization in terms of pricing for camphor and turpentine chemicals is the challenge, which has not been the challenge all these years. It never was an extraordinary profit-making product, but it was a decently profit-making. And that is now being challenged.
any particular reason why that's happening, whatever the phenomena is, why is that happening?
Yeah, I have mentioned it in my opening remarks that it's primarily because of the competitive pressures. A. B, I think even the Chinese competitors who are there in the terpene chemical space, you know, because of the devaluation of their currency and they having local feedstock for the raw materials, are able to compete harder. And that's the reason why we are not able to, you know, pass on the price hike that should have been there in the camphor and the terpene.
Sure. And sir, moving on, what has been the total...
Can we move to the next question because you already asked two, so then, you know, we get the opportunity.
All right. Sure, sir. No problem. All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity again. Parag, when do you see the whole thing normalizing on the EBITDA front, you know, we coming back to our mid-teens kind of EBITDA margin, the guidance that we have been giving that, you know, we'll be able to achieve on the long-term basis. So when do we expect that we'll be coming back to our normalized margins?
So like I said, that probably assuming that we do not have any further shocks which are external in terms of raw material shocks or demand shocks, we should probably see EBITDA margins improving on the fragrance and the specialty aroma ingredient space. I think the camphor and the terpene chemicals piece will need probably a little longer in terms of the time to play out to really get back to the previous EBITDA margin. So, you know, we have a calibrated response where the fragrance and the specialty aroma ingredients should stabilize much faster than the camphor and the terpene.
So can we expect somewhere at least in the second half of FY24 things getting back to normalcy?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, that the next one or two quarters should be good for the remaining two divisions. I think for the camphor and the terpene chemicals, we need a little longer. But if you are looking at H2 FY24, I think we should have probably some. We should have reached some level of stability in terms of the EBITDA margin. How much that would be in place of today's EBITDA, we need to wait and watch. It will still be driven by some competitive pressure. But we should. We are already taking a lot of steps to de-risk the whole sales strategy on camphor and terpene.
And on the camphor side, we have seen one of the large players in the aroma chemical space entering, commencing their supply for the camphor. So is it because of their competitive pressure also? We are seeing some pressure on the prices.
I'm not very sure if entry of any new player is creating that kind of a pressure. You know, if you look at probably the current quarter, it normally is off season. If you look at the local camphor sales, you know, Jan to March, but there's no festivals. So I don't think there's a significant impact because of a new player coming in. And the market has its own ways of reacting. I think a more significant impact is the inability of the current players to increase the camphor price when there is an opportunity to increase, because the price of the formulated product hasn't increased. So there is no reason why we should not increase the price.
Sure, but you think some more competitive pressure can come in with a big player getting entry into camphor now?
So I think there are much larger players who are well entrenched in the camphor space for a long, long, long period of time. So I don't think, I mean, I question the whole concept of a big player and a small player. All players are welcome, but, I doubt the size or the complexity of an individual.
Okay. Thank you. And wish you all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. So the first question is regarding this camphor part. Sorry to harp on this, but slightly wanted to understand more on this. So, any interventions that we think we can do to do better in this situation, or is it that we are at the mercy of this commodity market and we'll have to wait till this entire thing revives?
So, we have to look at the whole camphor and the terpene chemical space as a block. And like I mentioned earlier to Ankit, we are already taking substantial number of steps to de-risk our old strategy, and that involves the whole block of the terpene chemicals along with camphor. Because Oriental is very uniquely placed, where we have a whole basket of the terpene chemicals, and so we are exploring newer markets, we are exploring newer value-added products, and all that is just a matter of time when we will get and achieve success. Apart from that, the second piece of the strategy is, like we mentioned in our last investor call, of our strategy of entering into the CST space, you know, because that will give us a de-risking on the raw material front and access to gum turpentine from both the non-CST as well as the CST. So, we are taking multiple steps and to de-risk our strategy on the sales side and to de-risk our strategy on the raw material procurement side. Needless to say that we have a very active CPR program, which is process re-engineering, where we are continuously exploring ways of improving in the current process. So, if you put all these three together, I think although we are facing challenges today, but we will be in a position to probably in the coming quarters find one solution after the other.
That was helpful. And second question is Parag on CapEx. So on CapEx, I think two parts to it. One is that I think we have indicated that even post expansion, both the expansions, brownfield and greenfield, the proportion of aroma, FNF blend and camphor will remain almost the same as it is today. But do you see any need to relook at it and focus more on the FNF blend and specialty aroma chemicals in the medium-term perspective, given the nature of the business? That is one. And second is any timeline that you can give from which the commercial sales from our hydrogenation plant will start?
So I think to answer your first part of the question, after the hydrogenation facility comes through and after the phase one of Mahad becomes functional, I think probably, and also the benefits of all these internal materials going to the fragrance and flavor division, we are of the opinion that that in the medium term, we will probably see a shift happening towards a specialty ingredients business and the fragrance and flavor space automatically. We are putting a lot of resources in these two divisions, primarily in the specialty aroma ingredients division, which indirectly acts as a very competitive strategic advantage to the FNF. So we already have actioned the plan where, in future would probably be a little more tilted towards specialty ingredients and the FNM.
Thank you.
And Parag, just to add to that, if they can listen in, I think that all the CapEx is non-camphor-based. So the CapEx that we are doing, you can elaborate maybe a little bit on that. That will eventually, add value in terms and in revenue in terms from non-camphor-based products. So eventually, at the end of 2024-25, I think that the ratios would substantially change, not in favor of a larger piece or an equal piece of the camphor and terpene.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Rajat Setia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity once again. Just to clarify, what is the total CAPEX outlay for our Baroda hydrogenation plant and the Mahad Greenfield project?
Yeah, Girish, can you answer this question, specifics?
Yeah, so for hydrogenation, our total outlay would be including all roads and everything would be 150 crore. And for Mahad, actually we are in the process of finalizing the project report in the detailed engineering. So after that only we can give. But yes, in the first phase, it would be we are expecting somewhere around 80 crore. Excluding the land development and land acquisition cost.
And overall it will be, historically did we mention somewhere 200 to 240 crores? Is that the total?
Correct.
Historically we have been looking at 250 crores cap for doing all these projects. Plus the installation of the boiler system in Gujarat for, in Baroda for the enhanced production.
Right.
Okay, 250 for the like Mahad and Baroda or just Mahad?
No, Mahad and Baroda and the extra utilities that will be needed for Baroda.
Right.
Okay. And how much of the total capex is left now? Whatever is left to be done now in the next few quarters. What is left?
So I think in terms of Baroda, we probably would be investing close to around 80-85 crores for finishing the hydrogenation project.
Right.
And when it comes to Mahad, I think right now we are in plot development stage, and probably it would not be completely accurate to give you a kind of a number. But budgeted, like Girish said, it should be between 70 to 80 crores that we will need to employ Mahad.
And this will be for the first phase, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, of this 150 crore hydrogenation, how much is done?
Parag said around 60 crore is done. So
yes.
88 is the remaining.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Nikhil from Perpetual Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My first question is it possible to know what is the volume growth versus pre-COVID individually for Aroma Chemicals and Camphor Division and Flavor and Fragrances?
So I think broadly, I don't have the exact numbers, so you probably still can reach out to Anuj and we will be more than happy to share the numbers with you. But, you know, when we checked last, I think, and we did this analysis probably in the month of April, and we had already crossed pre-COVID levels of production in 2022-23, if I'm not mistaken, 2021-22. So, you know, we are already crossed the pre-COVID levels in terms of production and sales.
Okay. And Parag, I want to add here that in the 9 months corresponding period, we have increased our production volume by 18%.
Year on year, right? He's asking pre-COVID.
Yeah.
So we'll share the numbers with you. You can drop in a line to Anuj and we'll be more than
happy. Yeah.
Sure. I'll do that. Now, like you said, for the Camphor division, you have plans to look at other markets and other segments like pharma. So is the margin profile better in pharma versus a normalized industrial supply?
Yes.
And I mean, is there in terms of validation and all, how long does this take?
I think we are fortunate that we are already validated in a lot of drug master files for a lot of camphor consumers in Europe as well as in Central America, and some very key clients in the United States. So, you know, that's something which has already been done. Now there are, if they want to make a change in their supplier profile in the drug master file, they need to do some additional steps which do not take as much as a time as it needs for validation and incorporation in the drug master.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Ritesh from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one question. I believe there was a consistent margin guidance of 15-17%. So by when that can be achieved?
So,
we had revised this in the last call. So
correct.
You can, mention that.
Yeah. So, you know, we had revised the guidance. And if I am not mistaken, the guidance was revised to between 8-10% in the last call, which we can reconfirm and revert back to you. But we had revised that guidance to lower levels because of the uncertainty that is currently pertaining in the market.
So for short term, the management, the guidance would be 8-10% for at least for few quarters.
Yes.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Saket Saurabh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is, say, at last quarter also there was around delay in shipment because some of the clients had requested. So have they further, the same clients who have requested for further delay, or new set of clients who are also requesting us to delay those shipments? So this was some same issue in Q2 as well, right? So it is getting repeated in Q3 as well.
Yeah, so Saket, if you look at what has happened in the world, I mean, the world across the board has over-inventorized. Since we have a basket of products that we offer to the customer, you know, it probably is happens that customer A has certain contracts which he has done with us, and he has that material lying with him, so he delays it. And then after a few days, there's customer B who is buying a different product. So, you know, it's not the same customers, it's not the repeat offenders, it's newer set of customers who are kind of telling us to delay shipments for newer products. And in some cases, there are the customers who kind of now have moved to a level where, you know, looking at the recessionary trends, they are looking at cash flows, and they are looking at keeping the inventories low. So they are delaying the shipments. Having said that, like I mentioned in the opening remarks, we do not see any demand destruction happening, because we see a similar situation happening in our fragrance division. You know, in Q1 and Q2, we had customers who placed the orders and it's a thoda din ke baad dijiye. And now they've started picking up again. So I don't see any demand destruction that has happened with any of fragrance customers or our specialty ingredients customers.
Got it. And you talked about that for the upcoming, say next year, the plan that we're getting, so the volumes remain intact. But if I go through, say, IF's recent guidance, they have lowered guidance of growth for the next year. So are the orders coming at, say, much lower price realization? So if any color on that, like volumes remain intact, but are the prices also coming down from that standpoint?
So as you get into a more steady state of business, where our input costs have also come down, like I've mentioned in my opening remarks, I mean, there will be an expectation of a price reduction. You know? So I think we are well prepared to ensure that whatever is the right price at the right time for the customer and for us, we are able to give that. So, you know, the prices have come down because we are reaching a steady state and because the customers are aware that the raw material input costs have come down, so they are asking for a better.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have a question from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
I think perhaps one question, I think from the last time, remained unanswered. When do you expect the commercial sales to start from hydrogenation? And then I have a couple of more questions.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, correct. So, we intend to commission the plant by end of H1 2023, which is June 2023, assuming that we do not have some delays because of the, because this is a fully automated plant. So, you know, we're facing some issues in terms of deliverables of the instrumentation part. But, But otherwise, we should, and we are going to use H2 2023 for sampling validation. And for the RFQ customers, our target is for H1 2024, we'll start filling up the RFQs and hopefully get some volume allocation for these products in H1 2024. Calendar.
These are all calendar, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And second question is, I do understand you guys had given a guidance of 8 to 10%. My understanding was that that was for FY23, and beyond that, you did not have any visibility. But now, I think what you from what you're saying, the aroma chemicals and flavor part is getting better. So I understand that going back to 15-17% it will not happen in a quarter. But will there be a gradual improvement, do you see, or you think that that also is still far out?
No, I think aspirationally we would love to really reach that levels of 15-17%, point number one. Point number two, you know, as the raw material prices or aroma, specialty aroma ingredient prices stabilize, there's a natural hedge or there's a natural tendency for the margins to become better on the fragrance and flavor side, which is good news, you know, because you then get your inputs at a lower cost. And a steady state in the specialty aroma ingredient space will ensure that we come back to those, you know, 10-12% margins for the specialty aroma ingredient that are expected at sustainable and consistent volumes. So if that happens, which we feel is a few quarters away, I don't see why we should be in a position to kind of look at better numbers. Having said that, it's still work in progress. You know, we don't want to stick our necks out and give a guidance which we are not very sure of attaining.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Rajat Sethia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, my questions have been answered. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Nikhil from Perpetual Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, hi again. So like you said, your future will be focused on aroma chemicals and flavors and fragrances. Now, so you have a few segments within aroma chemicals. You have pinene, petrochem, musk and sandalwood derivatives. So where would the focus be going forward? And if you can comment on the current situation in these individual segments and a qualitative assessment or your idea on the margin profiles of these segments. And how do we look at the future of flavors and fragrances division?
So, Nikhil, to answer your question, I think our whole specialty aroma ingredients philosophy is not really based on certain block of raw material capability, or neither is it based on certain one or two chemistries. I think we have a very unique model of aroma ingredient strategy, where our strategy is based on inputs that we get from our F&F division. And that's the reason why we manufacture product across 28 different chemistries and using raw material sources which are completely agnostic to OEA or any of these blocks. So to answer your question, I think our strategy is going to be based on A, what do we feel is going to be the demand for the product going forward, B, our ability to have absolute control on the processes internally so that we are the most efficient converter of these materials, and then offer value to our customer by building infrastructure which is world class, safe and completely automated to give them products which are quality and at a sustainable and at a competitive price. So I think our philosophy is a little different than just probably focusing on these four blocks.
Sure. And how do we look at the flavor and fragrances business? I mean, how to understand this space and how to look at it going forward? Can you make it a bit easier for investors? I'm a bit new to the company, so pardon my ignorance.
No problem. So I think, just to probably keep it in the most simplistic language, functional perfumery is here to stay. As long as you are going to take a bath every day, you are going to wash your clothes and you are going to brush your teeth. So, you know, just to put it very simply, functional perfumery is here to stay. Because of the pressures of cost, synthetic aroma ingredients and specialty aroma ingredients are going to be a key element of this functional perfumes. Our endeavor of really kind of not exactly commoditizing, but right pricing the specialty aroma ingredients so that their volumes balloon up, because the perfumers believe in adding them at a higher percentage. It's something which we feel is going to be our way forward. And so I think the perfumery industry seems to have a very healthy CAGR going forward, going piggyback on the FMCG growth in the FMCG space.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have a question from the line of Saket Saurabh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So regarding camphor, so given the current realization and the raw material pressure that we are witnessing, so is it margin positive right now in the current state of affairs?
Yes.
And second question was, you know, that GTO versus CST thing that you talked about, because even our competitor, whom someone was referring to, have they are saying that they have that flexibility to use both the technology, which will give them the flexibility vis-a-vis raw material and, you know, help address some of the volatility around that. Now, I think Parag or even Dharmil Bhai also mentioned last time around that we're looking trying to address that aspect also. So is there some capes that you are trying to do to have the flexibility of both technologies in place? And if yes, then is there a timeline around that?
So we definitely have a strategy around de-risking our raw material procurement strategy on alpha pinene. That does not mean that our strategy is flawed. I think there is extremely limited advantage to probably having that flexibility. Having said that, if we have the resources and if we have the technology, we want to take the advantage of the situation. That is the only reason why we are doing it. We are exploring all options that are available on the table today to look at a CST strategy. And as and when it is ready, we will definitely be informing the investor community.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Regarding this, I think updated guidance that you had shared around 10% and so recalling. So the point is, now we have still been, I think, more around the 7% part. So is it primarily due to, say, camphor, really going out of whack, or do you think that once this shipment delays take care of, then we can move the needle to the upper side of the bracket rather than the lower side of the range that we have been witnessing for the last couple of quarters?
So we have to understand that, like I said, that camphor has created a drag, but that does not mean that that is the only factor. You know, I think we also had a 8-day shutdown in the Baroda site, and for one of the other plants in the Baroda site, in fact, the shutdown was 14 days. So, you know, if we would have had that production coupled with the customers taking all the inventorized materials, I'm sure the needle would have been at a different point. It would go to a substantially different point if we are also able to successfully implement our campus strategy on newer markets and newer products.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vijay Karpe from Shriram Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me this opportunity. My question pertains to the camphor division. So why is this Chinese competition coming now? So is it because of the logistics cost coming down, or is it anything else, as you mentioned, because of the Forex movement? And when is this competition expected to settle down?
So, honestly speaking, I can probably give you facts and numbers about Oriental Aromatics. You know, I probably will not be in a position to comment on what our competition is doing. You will probably have to ask those questions to them. What I can only say is that the current challenges that we face in the camphor space are not because of any competition, are because of the current existing players. And any new competition is going to find it even more difficult with a brand new plant when well-entrenched players are not in a position to make money.
What? And so what would have been the capacity utilization for us in Q3 for the camphor division?
Oh, so we have run all the plants at full capacity. We've not throttled any capacity. In fact, we are glad to inform you that the brownfield expansion that we did in our terpineol plant, where we increased our terpineol production from 1,000 to 1,800 tons, we've been successfully able to sell all the new capacity that has come up in Bareilly.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Anant Shenoy from AS Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, my first question again about camper. So you mentioned that in the camper segment, we'll be looking for changing the product mix and doing pharma-grade camper. So just wanted to understand, one, whether we are already doing it, how much sales are coming, or roughly how much percentage is coming from pharma grade. And second part to that is, now, why will existing API players or intermediate players will change the source? So, like, what is incentive for them? So how difficult it is to change the source for them?
Okay. So, Anand, to answer your question, we have been historically making substantial quantities of pharma-grade camphor. And Girish, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we are probably 20% of our current sales are from pharma camphor, plus minus 4-5%.
Yes, yes. Yes, sir. Right?
Yeah. And to answer your second question, I have already probably mentioned during this call that a large part of the regulatory framework has already been done by our regulatory teams for a long time. And so we are already there in the drug master files for a lot of our customers globally. And one reason why they should shift is probably this whole movement about de-risking China, because a lot of the pharma grade guys used to get their materials from China, and so everybody is looking at strategic de-risking, which is an opportunity for somebody like us who's been historically doing pharma grade camphor for a long time.
And do we expect that the pharma grade percentage will change in the near term, like in another 1 year or so? Do you expect any significant change in the proportion?
So like I said, Anand, without going into very specific information, I think we are exploring all options or all avenues available, which pharma probably is one of the many strategies that we are exploring to improve profitability for the camphor and the terpene.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last call for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dharmil Bodani from Oriental Aromatics Limited for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for participating in this earnings conference call. I hope we've been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, we would be happy to address the same. We are very thankful to all our investors who continue to stand by us and also have shown confidence in the company's future growth plans. And with this, I wish everyone a great evening. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Oriental Aromatics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.